Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Ches. We're on Daf Kuf Mem Zayin on Beis at the last line. Says the Gemara, in Machzir Naseh Shever, we learned in our Mishnah, one can't realign, restore a broken bone on Shabbos. That constitutes an act of refuah, an act of healing, in which case a person might be tempted to repair the ingredients needed for that remedy, which involve a malacha, so one cannot engage in this form of activity on Shabbos, ve'en machzirin sashever. Omer Rabbi Chana Bagdoso. So Rabbi Chana from the town of Baghdad said, Omer Shmuel, the name of Shmuel, halacha, machzirin sashever. The halacha maintains that one may restore and realign a broken bone on Shabbos. Rashi explains that Shmuel had a different version now, Mishnah. Machzirin tanan. He learned that the Mishnah actually says one may realign a broken bone. Perhaps he didn't consider that to be an act of healing, he's merely realigning that bone. Or as some explain, there's a concern of sakonas ever, there's a serious concern about the safety and the limb, the ever there, he might lose that limb, in which case the Rabbanon did not prohibit doing the refuah in this case on Shabbos. Continues the one with the story. Rabba Bar Bar Chana Ikla Lepumbedisa. So Rabbi Bar Chana came to Pumbedisa. Loy al lepirke the Rabbi Yehuda. He didn't enter to the drasha of the shir of Rabbi Yehuda. Shadre la'ada daila. So Rabbi Yehuda noticed that he was missing, and he sent this fellow called Ada, who was a daila. Rashi says a mamuna, a minister. He was in charge. He was the servant there. So he sent him to try to summon Rabbi Bar Chana to come to the shir. Amar lei, so Rabbi Yehuda instructed him, zil go garbe. Rashi learns garbe means take a hold of his garment as a collateral until he comes. Rabbi Chanana learns that garbe means mashcheu, draw him or bring him over to the drasha. Ozil, so he went garbe, he did that, and he arrived at the shir. Also, so Rabbi Bar Chana came. Ashkeche, so he noticed, he encountered Rabbi Yehuda the Kadorish, who was teaching as follows. Ein machzirnes hashever. He had the version that we have in our Mishnah, one may not realign the broken bone on Shabbos. Amar leis, so he responded to him, Hochi Amar Rav Chana Bagdasa, Amar Shmuel. Rav Chana Bagdasa, say the name of Shmuel, Mahalocha machzirnes hashever. One may realign that broken bone. Amar leis, Rabbi Yehuda responded, Ho Chana didan. Take a look, Chana, who is our landsman, he's a local resident of Bavel, Shmuel Dedan, and he's saying it in the name of Shmuel, who's also a local resident, V'loi Shmieli, and I never heard this halacha, which is being said here, even though they're local residents. Isn't it good that Rabbi Bar Chana came over here to inform us this halacha? V'lav Bedina, Gar Besich, isn't it good, isn't it right? It was rightfully so that we did this collateral, we did this garbe, that we forced you to come here, so you teach us this very important halacha. If you wouldn't have showed up, we would never known the right version of this halacha. Continues the Gemara, Mishnah Nifrika Yadai. So the Mishnah says, if one's hand or foot becomes dislocated, jumps out of his joint, the Mishnah says he can't vigorously wash it with cold water, but if it somehow gets restored, then that's okay. Rav Avya have a Yosef Kameda Rav Yosef. Rav Avya was sitting in front of Yosef. Shani la yaday. His hand got dislocated. Amar lei. So Rav Avya motioned with his hand. He said, Hachi mai. He demonstrated some type of movement. He says, can I do this on Shabbos? So he said, no, Asur, you can't do that. V'hachi mai. What about doing it in this manner? So he was maneuvering his hand in all different directions. Can I do this to restore it? Amar li Asur, no, that's considered to be an obvious act of refuah. He's trying to restore his arm, and he can't do this on Shabbos. Adahochi, while he was doing all these motions, itzvach yodei, his hand got restored and healed. So it happened inadvertently as a result of all his demonstrations, and that's okay. So Rav Yosef asked him, why are you questioning me? Amar lei my tiboy lach, why do you have these questions? Hatanan, we clearly learned in the Mishnah, Mishnah ifrika yodei raglei, one whose hand or foot become dislocated. Lo yitzfren b'tzoyin. He can vigorously wash in cold water. Avo roichetz kedaka, but he can wash it as usual. V'mistrapin istrapin. If it ends up healing, that's fine. So you know this can't be done. Why are you asking whether one may restore his dislocated arm? Amar Leh, so Rabbi explained, the reason why I'm questioning is because as follows. Haven't we also learned in Machzeres HaShever, one may not realign a broken bone. Nevertheless, we had a different version of events. Rav Chana Bar Gedesa Shmuel, Rav Chana Bar Gedesa told us the name of Shmuel, Halacha Machzeres HaShever. Halacha maintains one can realign a broken bone. Meaning that the version that we have now, which is incorrect. So perhaps the next halacha regarding realigning and relocating a dislocated arm is perhaps also incorrect. And that's why I was asking you what the halacha says. Amar Leh. So Rav Yosef responded, why would you think to compare the two things? Kulu b'chada machisa machtin machisnu. All these things, all these halachas, are you weaving them together, b'chada machisa, in one weave, machisnu, are you weaving them? Meaning, why are you connecting one to the other? Heichad itmar, itma, where we learned that it's an incorrect version, for instance, in the first halacha of restoring, realigning a broken bone, fine, then we learned. Heichad itmar, however, in the next halacha, discussing relocating a dislocated arm, itmar. In that case, where we had not learned that it's an incorrect version, itmar, then we haven't learned, meaning, apparently the version now, Mishnah is correct, the one may not relocate a dislocated arm. There's no reason to question the validity and accuracy of that halacha. Let's take a look perhaps at Rashi inside, beginning on the top line here, top line of the Amid, Halacha Machzeres HaShever. So this was Rav Chana Bagda saw the name of Shmuel, that we may realign a broken bone. Svirle, now he held Svirle Shmuel Machzeret Nan, that the correct version of our Mishnah is actually Machzeren, one may realign that broken bone. So he sent Ada Daila, who was a ministerial, Mamuna, this one in charge, Garbi, he told him, Kach Bigdoy, take hold of his garment, Ashev, until he comes. Also, Rabba, so Rabba came to the Shir Ashkel of Yehuda, he heard him saying this halacha, and he corrected him. And Yehuda responded, Ha Chana Didan, Mimkaimenehu. He's a local resident, Velishamanu Zaysim Pivadhena. We haven't heard this from him until this moment. Velav Bedina, Garbi Sicha. Isn't it good? Bitmiya, question mark, Shilu Le Basa. If he hadn't showed up, Loi Lo Madu, we haven't learned this very important halacha. Then we have the next Gemara where Avia's hand became dislocated. Shani Le Yodin, Ishtanis Yodim Kaima. It jumped out of its place. Hochi Mai Ha Yoise Bin Yonam Harbi Vishal. He was maneuvering his hand in different motions, different ways. He was asking whether this is allowed on Shabbos. And the conclusion of the Gemara is that we cannot do that. And despite the fact that the first halacha turned out to be incorrect, v'chada machisa machisnu, bariga achas arakta, you weaving them all together, heicha di itma, wherever we had learned definitively, the masnisin lav davka tanan, that our Mishnah's version is incorrect, itma, then we learned. But in the second halacha regarding relocating dislocated arm, the accuracy is actually found in our Mishnah, and therefore, this would be also. Unless it happened inadvertently, as in the case described in Al-Gemara, or when he simply washes his hand in the usual manner, and somehow it becomes relocated back to its place. Hadron Allah Chavis. Continues the Mishnah. Shoyl Odom Mechaver. One is allowed to borrow from his friend, Kadayayin, Kadishemen, barrels, containers of wine or of oil. Ubavachel Yoyim Alay Halveni. Provided that he doesn't use the term Halveni. So he's allowed to say Hashileni, but not Halveni. The Gemara will explain what is the difference between both terms. Likewise, a woman may borrow from her friend Kikroy's loaves of bread. What if he doesn't trust him? He's going to return it. So he goes and he leaves his garment by him. Then after Shabbos, he sits down with him and he makes a cheshbon. He calculates how much he owes him in return. Likewise, if Erev Pesach in Yerushalayim fell out on Shabbos, Shecholius B'Shabbos, and this fellow hadn't yet purchased his carbon Pesach. What does he do? So he goes to the shepherd, to the farmer there, and gets an animal, Maniach Talisa Esla, he leaves his talis with him, as a mashkin, v'noitelis pischoy, and takes his animal for his carbon Pesach, v'oisei me'cheshvan, l'acha yomtev, and after yomtev, meaning al chalamayid, he sits down, he makes a cheshvan, he calculates how much he owes him. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rava Bar Rav Chanan Abai. What is the difference between Hashileni and Halveni? Maishna Hashileni, Maishna Halveni. Mishnah begins, he can borrow, provided that he doesn't use the term Halveni. Rather, he says, lend me, but he uses the term Hashileni. What is the difference between Hashileni and Halveni? They both mean the same thing. Lend me this item. Amar lei. So Abai responded, there's a big difference. Hashileni, when he uses the word hashileni, he's not going to be tempted to write down, to create a record of this transaction. In contrast to halveni, then he might be tempted to actually create a record of this transaction and write it down, so he doesn't forget. So Rashi and Tosfos explain to us as follows. Hashileni is generally referring to something which is going to be returned intact. Loan me your car, your shovel, he's going to return it intact, the same item that he borrowed. Halveni, on the other hand, is generally referred to something which is meant to be consumed. For instance, foodstuffs or money, which he's meant to consume and return, either the same type of object, he's going to return wine, or even perhaps the monetary value of that wine. Now, this results in a halachic effect that takes place, because something which is meant to be returned intact doesn't really have a shir zman. It's not really set in time. The owner, the lender, can go ahead and retrieve his article as soon as he wishes. There's no set time for it, as opposed to something which is a halva, which is meant to be consumed by the borrower. In which case, there's a shir zman. Rashi brings a Gemara. Stam halva is shloishim yaim. The presumed time period of halva stretches for a minimum of 30 days. Since the borrower has the privilege of consuming it, using it up, spending the money, this results in the lender losing his rights to collect it immediately. He has to wait at least 30 days to give him a chance to go ahead and produce the money or the object which he's going to return to him. So she'ela is generally a short-term transaction, whereas halva is meant as a longer-term proposition, a minimum of 30 days. So that explains the Gemara. The Mishnah says, use the term she'ela, which denotes a short-term proposition, a short-term transaction, in which case he's going to have to return as soon as the lender demands the return of this item. So although we're speaking about wine or oil, which he's certainly going to consume, he's not going to give him back the same thing intact. But nevertheless, since he uses the term she'ela, that denotes short-term, and since he's going to retrieve the actual type of item, let's say a similar thing that he's lending wine, he's going to return wine, a similar thing, or at least the monetary value, but he's going to have to return as soon as he demands it of him. It's not something which is going to be long-term, so there's no need for him to keep a record and to write it down. As opposed to using the Lashon Halveni, which denotes a longer-term transaction, something which is going to last at least for 30 days, in which case the lender might be concerned that it might be forgotten. Therefore, he's going to make a record of it, write it down, and write on Shabbos. Therefore, we insist on him using a term Hashileni rather than Halveni. Says the Gemara. But how do we resolve the concern by simply using this term? V'akivan de bechol. Since during an ordinary weekday, zimnan, on occasion, the boy lemeimer lehalveni. Although a person perhaps has halva in mind, he wants it for a period of 30 days, a longer term loan. V'amale hashileni, and he's not particular about his wording. Despite the fact that he has something longer in mind, he uses the word hashileni. But like kapi dilavei, and the lender is not very particular about it, he allows him to keep it for a longer period, for 30 days. He allows the status of halva to be applied, despite the fact that he used the term she'ela. So people are not very exact and particular in the accuracy of their expressions. So although he uses the term hashileni, really what he meant was a longer term loan. And the lender knows that. He knows it might end up being a longer term proposition. Therefore, he will come to write it down just in case the borrower has a longer term proposition in mind. If that's the case, since wording here is not very exact, likewise on Shabbos, despite the fact that he uses the term she'ela, the lender might think in his mind, well, he really has halva in mind. He's going to keep it for long term. Therefore, I need to go write it down. So what do we gain by advising him to use the word she'ela? Amalei, Sabai responded. Let's skip over the parentheses here. Amalei, b'Shabbos, kiven da'ashileni, hu d'shar l'rabbanan. Since the Rabbanon were particular about using the word Hashileni, as opposed to Halveni, which they did not allow him to use. Halveni lo yisharle, they did not allow him to use the term Halveni. Minkar Milsa, it's pretty obvious that it's going to be a short-term loan. It's not going to last for 30 days. The Chacham only allowed him to conduct this form of transaction. Use the term she'ela and mean, as you say, a short-term proposition, in which case is no concern as of writing it down, making a record, as opposed to during the weekdays, where the Chacham gave no instructions, and even when a person uses a lashon she'ela, the lender perhaps thinks that he has halva in mind, and he will come to write it down. So let's see the words again. B'Shabbos kivin hashileni hu d'shar l'rabbanon. Since the Chacham allowed the term hashileni, halveni lo yisharle. However, halveni did not allow minkur milsa. It is pretty clear and obvious what the intent and purpose here is. V'las l'michtav, and he will not come to create any records and write it down. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. So Rashi here is right at the beginning of the perek, which comes out 11 lines from the top. Shoyel. Shelo yomer halveni, he should not use the term halveni mefarish v'gemar, the Gemara will explain. Shechali is b'Shabbos, this happened on Erev Pesach, which fell out on Shabbos, v'li niska merev Shabbos liknas. He hadn't remembered, he hadn't recalled to purchase his carbon Pesach before Shabbos. So he takes an animal, leaves his garment there, and after Yom Tov, Rashi says li yomer shlishi. So Rashi is very exact. He needs to wait past Shabbos, past Yom Tov, he has to wait on to Chol HaMoed to sit down to work out the numbers. Halveni says Rashi Mashmal is man meruba. That's referring to a longer term transaction of Kaimel Mesechus Makos, and we learned Stam Alva Lamed Yoim. The presumed period is 30 days. V'osi Malvi the Lichtav Al Pin Kasei. The Malvi, the lender, will come to write down on his pad Kach V'Kach Halvesi. This and this much I lent to him Kadesh Al Yishkach, so that he doesn't forget. Amalei, so this was in the Kasha and the Gemara. What are you gaining by insisting on using this term versus the other term, kiven de b'chol nami, even during an ordinary weekday, zimnin de boi lemei ma'alveni, on occasion he really wants to say alveni, because he has a longer term proposition in mind, v'amai shileni, instead he uses the word ashileni, v'loi kapi de lei, v'alva, the lender is not particularly allows it to become alva, to leave it for a longer term, b'shabas nami, kiyama shileni, even if he uses the word ashileni, sovar, perhaps the lender thinks in his mind, alvai, he really has in mind the halva, which is something of a longer term transaction, and you'll come to write Mayeke Iker. So what purpose, what visibility, what are we demonstrating by using these words as opposed to those words, if they both can mean the same exact thing? Since the Rabbanon only allowed the term Hashileni to be employed, they did not allow Halveni, Minkur, Milsa, it's pretty clear and obvious that this is what's happening, it's a short-term loan, and he will not come to write it down. Continues the Gemara with another kasha that Rava Bar Avchanan asked Abaye. Amalei Rava Bar Avchanan Abaye. So this is regarding something which is unrelated to the previous discussion. Michti, let's take a look. Amar Rabbanan declared Kamila de Yom Tov, any sort of exertion on Yom Tov, Kama de Efshe L'Shanu Yimishaninan. Whatever we could deviate and make a shinui from the way it's ordinarily done during the weekdays, we're meant to do so. If that's the case, if that's the formula we work with generally. If so, how do we explain the following custom? Ha ni nashi, these women, the mali chatzvayu mayu, who go draw, fill their buckets with water on Yom Tov, my time elo meshanin. How come they don't deviate, they don't do things differently than the way it's ordinarily done? So he answered him, mishum de lo yefsha, because there's no real viable option here. Hey chil adi, how should they proceed? The mali machatzvarabo, the ones that are accustomed to filling with large buckets, limlu bechatzva zuta, should we insist on them using smaller buckets and fill in those small buckets, bechatzva zuta, hakamav shubilucha, sure, you're deviating, you're making a shina, but you're resulting in some sort of greater element of exertion, because they need to walk many more times, the less you fill, the more times you have to go fill, so what are you gaining, you're bringing about a greater exertion here. The malim b'chatz v'zuta, if they're accustomed to filling in small buckets, lumu b'chatz v'rabba, should we insist on them filling in large pitchers? Come off shibet ma'asui, you're increasing their load, so it's increasing their tircha, their exertion, not really gaining much. Nefer's sudra, Should we tell them to at least cover it with a cloth, which will indicate that today is Yom Tov, so some sort of visibility for Yom Tov? Asleh Schita is a concern that this cloth might get wet, and they might come to squeeze it and do Schita. That's not really a practical option. Nechsayi b'nechtama? Should they go ahead and cover the container with a lid? Zimn the mifsik, on occasion it might get detached from the bucket, vasel mikter, they might come to reattach and retie it and do a malacha, which is nisa deraisa. Hilchach le'efsha, therefore we don't really have a viable option, we just let them do it as is. Continues Gemara with a third kasha, that Rava Baruchan and Esrabai. Va'amalei Rava Baruchan and Labai. Tonight we learned in our Mishnah, in Maseches Beya. Loi mesapkin, we're not meant to clap our hands. Rashi learns, Mishum Evil, as an expression of mourning. Tosfos learns an expression of simcha. That's one thing. V'loi metapchin, nor tap on one's heart. V'loi merakdin, nor dance. Rashi says out of joy. B'yomtiv, we can't do this on Yomtiv. Tosfos explains the concern is Shem Yisak and Klishir. He might go and fix, repair an instrument. So we're meant to refrain on Yomtiv. V'kachazin and da'avdin, we see that people do this. V'loi merinah, v'loi midi, we don't protest. We don't tell them anything. Why is that? Says in Wabi Tamech, according to your view, Hada Marava, this that we learned, the name of Rava. Loi Lesev Inish Apuma de Lachaya, Rava warned, one should not sit down. Apuma de Lachaya on the mouth of the Lechi. This is the side post, the Lechi, which is placed at the entranceway of the Mavi, which is an alleyway to Shusrabim. So one shouldn't handle any objects right alongside the Lechi, because when he's sitting alongside the Lechi, he doesn't really see that there's a lechi, he doesn't notice the separateness of the Mavi Pinash Ram, he doesn't realize it's a separate domain. What might happen? There's a concern, Dilma Meganda Lechefetz. Perhaps the object that he's holding might roll into Shazarabim. Vasilisui, he might come to bring it from Shazarabim to the Mavi, which is technically Rosh Hashayachid, without realizing that he's switching Rishuyis. He's transferring from one domain to the other. So this is something one must refrain from. And we see that people set down their containers right there of a Yosvan Apuma de Mavoi, and they sit down right at the entrance of the Mavoi. And we don't tell them anything, we don't protest. So why is that? Ella. Rather, the reason is Hanach Yisrael, leave Klal Yisrael alone. When we know that they're not going to listen to us, it's something which they've become so accustomed to. It's a waste of words. Mutav Shishagin. Better that they proceed with their forbidden activities in inadvertence, b'shgaga, rather than tell them and have them ignore your warnings, value mazidim. Don't cause them to do their things, b'mazid, intentionally, which is a worse offense. So Tosfos points out, this is specifically speaking about things where we know, we're pretty certain, we're confident that our words and our warnings will not be heeded to. But otherwise, a person certainly is obligated to correct his fellow Jews' actions. So there's this formula of allowing something to remain in a status of shogeg rather than facilitating a mazit. So that explains why we don't warn them and we don't protest when we see them clapping, dancing, etc. So they figured, hanamil medrabbanan, that this only applies, this formula of ignoring the misdeeds only applies to nisa derabban, avu deraisa. When it's something more severe, it's a issa deraisa. When it's something involving a deraisa loy, then we don't apply this formula. But loy, says the Gemara, it's not the case. Loy shenob derabbanon, loy shenob deraisa, this applies whether it's a derabbanon or deraisa. For instance, a mitzvah to say deraisa, as we're going to see soon, the requirement to add on a little bit of time to Yom Kippur, begin earlier than the actual onset of Yom Kippur, that's a mitzvah deraisa, deraisa. It's a mitzvah saseya that the Gemara learns from a pasuk. Nevertheless, we ignore people that ignore this mitzvah. We find that people eat and drink asher techshach until actual nightfall. We don't tell them anything. Apparently, even when it comes to a mitzvah saseya deraisa, we apply this concept, let them be. If we know that they're not going to heed our words, let them do it in a status of shogeg, which is not so severe, rather than tell them and inform them and have them transgress maliciously. Continues the Gemara. V'chein isha mechaverta kikrois, Mishnah says, even when borrowing loaves, we must employ the term she'ela hashileni rather than the term halveni, which denotes a longer-term transaction. Says the Gemara, a diuk. Let's infer from this Mishnah. This is only a restriction to Shabbos. But Shabbos is asur. On Shabbos, one may not conduct this long-term loan of loaves of bread, al b'chol shapidami, but during ordinary weekday, there's no concern. Lema masnisim like Hillel. Perhaps our Mishnah does not follow the Shita of Hillel, who says there's a concern with borrowing loaves of bread for a longer term, a longer period of time. The Snan is learned in the Mishnah. Likewise, Hillel will say, Loi salve isha kikul chaverta. A woman should not lend a loaf of bread to her friend, achata sena domim, until she establishes the value, the monetary value of the loaf of bread. Look, I'm lending you a $5 loaf of bread, and return to me a loaf of bread of the same value. Why is this necessary? What is the concern? Shema yukru chitin, perhaps the price, the value of wheat will rise. V'nimtzu b'yisal de ribis, and they will come to do ribis, because if she lends her a loaf of bread which is today worth $5, come back a month later with another loaf of bread which is worth $10, she's actually giving her back more than she loaned her, which is ribis. Ribis means returning more than you borrowed. So our Mishnah, which is not concerned about this ribis iser, our Mishnah is strictly limiting a Shabbos loan for concern of using words which might lead to writing, but ribis doesn't play a role. Why not? Apparently we're not following Hillel. Says Rafilo Temi Hillel. Even we follow, are we concerned about Hillel's concern of ribis? There's no concern in our Mishnah. Why? Haba Asur the kids the mate. Our Mishnah is speaking about where the loaf of bread, the price, is set, established, and is well known. The kai is dummy. It's dummim, its value is known. In which case, there's no concern. You know today's loaf of bread is worth $5. When you come back a month later, they'll clearly ascertain whether or not it's ribis. They'll see. They'll see how much the loaf is worth. And if it's worth more than $5, she'll only return to her the value that she borrowed. So if there's no concern. However, the halacha of Hillel, speaking of Ba'asra in a locale, in a location, the loy kaitz dummit, that the value of the loaf is not, it's not established, it's not well known, in which case it's a concern that she might borrow a loaf of bread without really determining, ascertaining its true value, and return a loaf of bread despite the fact that it rose in value, which is a concern of ribis. Continues the Gemara, so if he doesn't trust him, the Mishnah says he leaves a collateral or a mashkon, it's my relent. Halvas yontif, a yontif loan, such as described in our Mishnah, lending something on yontif. Rav Yosef Amar Loi Nitna Letova. A person has no right to collect this loan, to retrieve it, to demand it through the power of the Bezin of the courts. So he certainly owes it to him, but he can't go ahead and use the power of the Bezin to go ahead and recollect that loan. V'Rabba Amar Nitna Letova. It can be collected and demanded through the Bezin. Explains the Gemara. Rav Yosef Amar Loi Nitna Letova. It can't be collected through the Bezin. The Amr is Nitna Letova, because if you say it can, Oshir L'michtav, he might be tempted to go and write down, to keep records of this transaction. Because he figures, look, if the borrower who refused to return it, I'm going to go and drag him to Bezin and initiate a legal proceeding against him. And that's something which can get drawn out, take time, and by that time, I might forget the details. So since he expects, perhaps, he suspects this might actually result in a long-term proceedings, he might go ahead and be tempted to write down and keep records. Therefore, we insist that this is something which cannot be collected in a bezin, and this way he won't be tempted to write it down. So that's the opinion of Rav Yosef. Rabba, I'm just the opposite. Nitna letava. It can certainly be collected and demanded through the power of bezin, the amas lo nitna, because if you maintain that it cannot be collected through bezin, well, yarevle, he won't give it to him to begin with. And it will come, it will result in a refraining from joy and happiness of Yom Tov, because you won't have what to celebrate the Simchas Yom Tov with. Tanan, we're going to now Mishnah, if he doesn't trust him, he leaves his garment with him and uses that as a mashkin, as a collateral. Says the Gemara, let's have a raya to our machlekes. It's good and well if you say lenith letova. It's not something which you can go collect through bezin. That's why he needs a mashkim shemachim maniach talisa esla. That's why he needs to leave that talis as a mashkim, as a guarantee. He takes the mashkin, he takes the talis as a guarantee, and after Shabbos, he sits down and he makes a cheshbon, a calculation, how much he owes him, so he pays him up and gets back his talis. That works well if he doesn't have the power to demand the loan, the return of the loan through Bezin, so he needs to do this proceeding. But if he has full power to demand his loan back through Bezin, why does he have to go through this procedure? Why does he have to leave the garment with him? Let him simply loan him the object for litvei, and if he refuses to return it, let him go and collect it through Bezdin. Why does he need to take the mashkin? Says more very simple. He wants to avoid getting entangled in a court case. Amar, he says, Lo ba'ina, I have no interest. Delay kum bedina, to go ahead and come to the din, v'dina is the judges, to go make a din, to go drag together, call it to summon the judges. I'm not interested in getting involved in the court's proceedings. Therefore, let me get something right now from you as a guarantor, and this will guarantee and ensure the safe arrival and return of my loan. Continues the Gemara. Mosif Rabbi de Barav. I have a kasha from a Mishnah. The Mishnah here is a Masech HaShviyas. Now, a small, short introduction is required to understand this mission. There's a halacha that on Shemitah one may not do land work in Eretz Yisrael, farming, etc. And there's also a halacha called Shemitah's Ksofim. That Shemitah, at least the last moment of the Shemitah, the last moment of the seventh year, adversely affects a loan, which was loaned prior to that moment. So Reuven lent Shimon $100, comes the last moment of Shemitah, Shemitah is meshamit that loan. It affects that loan. Reuven needs to relinquish his right to demand and collect the return of that money. That's called Shemitah's Ksofen. Now, another point that needs to be mentioned here is at the time of the Mishnah, they used to be mekadesh, sanctify the Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah through the Eidos, the testimony of the witnesses who came and testified that they saw the new moon. Now, prior to their arrival, They would have to cover all bases, and out of uncertainty, they would begin their Rosh Hashanah a day early. They weren't sure whether the Elul month, this was the last month of the seventh year we're speaking about, the last month of Shemitah, whether that month is going to contain 29 days, and the 30th day will actually be the first day of the next month, the month of Tishrei, of the eighth year, of the next year, or whether Rosh Chodesh should only take place the following day. They weren't sure about the developments of the events, when the Eidim will show up. So they began the Rosh Hashanah on the 30th day of the Elul month. And there was some uncertainty as to the status of that day. They observed it as Rosh Hashanah, but it was pending, so to speak. Perhaps today is actually Rosh Hashanah, because the Elul month of that year will only have 29 days, will not be a leap month. And that day is actually the first day of the following month, first day of Tishrei of the 8th year, the true Rosh Hashanah day, or perhaps it's going to turn out that the new month will only begin the following day, the second day Rosh Hashanah, and the first day Rosh Hashanah will actually turn out to be an ordinary weekday, the 30th day of the Elul month, which will turn out to be a leap month. So that first day of Rosh Hashanah actually turns out to be the last day of the seventh year, the Shemitah year. And the second day of Rosh Hashanah is actually the true Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the Tishrei month of the following year, of the eighth year. Says the Mishnah, Hashaycha des ha-parah. So this fellow did shechita on his parah, v'chilka b'Rosh Hashanah, and distributed to his customers on credit, and it was on Rosh Hashanah, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Now, Shemitah, as we said, is Mishameh the loan, will relinquish, will make him lose his rights to collect, to demand the return of this credit, which is considered to be in a status of a loan. Now, Shemitah is only Meshamit at the last moment of Shemitah. Now, this first day of Rosh Hashanah, one sure as to the status of it. Is it the last day of Elul? Is it day 30, the leap day of Elul? In which case, the loan that is loaned on that day gets affected by Shemitah, which is actually the last moment of that day. So it affects anything that took place that transpired up until that moment, including the distributing of the meat on that day, or is that first day going to turn out to be the first day of Tishrei, the first day of the eighth year of the cycle, meaning the year after Shemitah, and Elul will turn out to be a non-leap month, only a 29-day month, in which case Shemitah ended right there, meaning before this day Shemitah had already ended, in which case Shemitah doesn't affect the loan that took place, that transpired on this day of Rosh Hashanah. So do they own that money? Can they go collect it? Can you demand that loan or not? So it depends on what happens. There's a version which says Elul. Ima Yechodesh Elul Mu'uber. So if it turns out the Elul month was a leap month, in which case, this day, this first day, which was presumed to be Rosh Hashanah, it was a Safek Rosh Hashanah. It turns out to be not Rosh Hashanah, actually. It was the 30th day of Elul. And the last day of the Shemitah year, Mishamit. Then the Shemitah affects that loan. Vimlav, but if it turns out that Elul was not a leap month, it was a 29-day month. And this day, this first day of Rosh Hashanah, was actually the first day of Tishrei. Shemitah already ended before this first day. Eina Mishamit, Shemitah will not affect the loan and the credit which was issued on that day. Says Mar, let's analyze this halacha in view of the previous discussion. If a yomtiv loan, so he's loaning them this meat on credit, if it cannot be demanded back through Bezdin, so that refers to any yomtiv loan, not merely the yomtiv of Shemitah. If so, my Mishamit. What does the Mishnah mean? That if it turns out that this was the last day of Shemitah, then the Shemitah will affect this loan. In any event, a loan which transpires on Yom Tov cannot be demanded, cannot be recollected. So what's the significance of Shemitah here? Now the Gemara here assumes that the Mishamit here and Nitna Letova are synonymous. The Mishamit means that he can't go ahead and demand it in Bezdin, as opposed to Eina Mishamit means he can't collect it in Bezdin. Well, if it's a Yom Tov loan, in either case he can't collect it in Bezdin. Says the Mosh Shani Hassan, there's different. The Igloi Milsa turns out the Choylu. Certainly he has full rights to collect this loan in Bezdin because we're speaking about the first day of Rosh Hashanah, which turns out to be an ordinary weekday. Because it turned out that was actually the last day of Chodesh Elul. It wasn't Rosh Hashanah at all. So certainly the Mishnah needs to tell us that Shemitah will affect that loan, because it transpired on the last day of Shemitah. So the last moment of that day affects anything that transpired up until that moment. So since it was an ordinary weekday loan, because it wasn't even Rosh Hashanah, so it's not a Halvas Yom Tov. Generally speaking, this loan certainly can be demanded and collected in Bezdin. Rather, the fact that Shemitah came along and went ahead and relinquished his rights and went ahead and affected that loan, was Mishamet that loan, that is the ground, that is the reason why he has no right to collect that loan. For additional clarity, perhaps let's take a look at Rashi actually inside. 20 lines from the top, beginning with the words, HaShoyched Es HaPorah V'Chilke Rosh Hashanah. Okay, we have the place. If somebody shechts a parah and distributes it on Rosh Hashanah, explains Rashi. Which Rosh Hashanah are we speaking about? Rosh Hashanah Shel Motzei Shvi'is. This was Rosh Hashanah, which is following the 7th year, following Shemitah. He distributed the cow, the loikhim, to his customers about kafa on credit. The kaimelin, and we know that halacha is, shvi'is mishametes b'soifa shvi'is, affects the loans b'soifa, at the last moment of Shemitah. That's when the loans get affected, the chsiv miket at the end. So im ha'yochodesh elul mu'uber, so if the elul month was a leap month, v'asu Rosh Hashanah shnei yamim, and they observed Rosh Hashanah for 2 days, out of suffix, out of uncertainty, Mishamit. In this case, Shemitah will affect the loan, this credit which transpired on that first day of Rosh Hashanah. Why? The Yom Tov Rishon Shel Soi Shvi'is, because the first day of Rosh Hashanah actually turned out to be the last day of Shemitah. V'nimtzezu Halva Shvi'is. If so, this loan is status, has a din of a Shvi'is loan. And Shvi'is affects it. Vimla, but if it turns out that Elul was not a leap month, in which case, the first day of Rosh Hashanah was not day 30 of Elul, rather day 1 of Tishrei, which was already beyond Shemitah. Havi l'halvos matzor Shvius. If so, the status of this loan is a after Shvius loan. Ve'ini meshmat, Shabbat and Shemitah is not affected. Lo garsina yamas v'shloima. Okay, hocha garsina. This is the proper version of the Gemara. V'ilo nithin l'tava. If a general Yom Tov loan is not given to be collected in Bezdin, my meshamet. What do you mean that Shemitah affects it? Hoyl ve'im Bezdin is kokin l'koyfei. Since Bezdin does not come and lend their services, don't lend their authority to go ahead and force them to repay. Shmuti v'medes. This loan is Shmuta was affected by Shmita, meaning it's something which he doesn't have the power to collect. It's been shamut already, since he doesn't have the legal power to go ahead and collect it through Bezin. So what do you mean that Shmita affects it? Says the Gemara, because if this first day of Rosh Hashanah turns out to be the last day of Elul, and it's a weekday loan, it's not a Yom Tov loan, d'chaylu Sharei Chodesh Mehuber, because the 30th day of Elul was part of that leap month. V'lo yahave Yom Tov ad l'machar, Yom Tov only begins tomorrow. Hilkach ilav d'shviyasu. Therefore, if not the fact that day was Shvius, have a gabi, he would have had the full rights to collect that money. It would not have been considered a Yom Tov loan. Therefore, it depends whether or not that day is considered to be Shvius, in which case Shvius affects the loan, is Meshamet the loan. In contrast to, if that day is considered to be a non-Shmita day, then he has full rights to collect that loan. Shvius does not affect the loan whatsoever. Continues the Gemara. Toshma Mesefa. Let's bring a raya from the last part of the Mishnah. Im lav eni meshamet. If this first day of Rosh Hashanah turns out to be part of the eighth year, because im lav meaning Elul was not a leap month, so it wasn't a 30-day month, and the first day of Rosh Hashanah was already Aleph Tishrei, the first day of the eighth year, eni meshamet. Shemitah will not affect that loan, because that loan was loaned on the eighth year. Says the Gemara, let's analyze. It's all good and well if a Yom Tov transaction can be collected, can be demanded through Bezin. Now we understand, the Mishnah says, Shemitah won't affect it. He will have full rights to collect this loan in Bezin. But if an ordinary Yom Tov loan cannot be demanded and returned through the power of Bezin, amayin meshamet. What does the Mishnah mean? That Shemitah won't affect it. Meaning he has full rights to collect. He doesn't have rights to go collect it through Bezin in either case, because it's a Yom Tov loan. Says the Gemara, you're right. Although he doesn't have rights and power to collect it through the power of the courts, nevertheless, it means as follows. Shemitah won't affect it, that if he decides, the person who borrowed decides to return it, he can go and accept it. The Yorli Shakel, if he returns it, he can accept it. So he doesn't have the power to demand it of him, but he can go ahead and accept it if the borrower voluntarily returns it. So that's the Pshat, Eini Meshamet. Says the Gemara Mechlal. If so, the Reisha, in the first part of the Mishnah, where it turns out that the first day of Rosh Hashanah was day 30 of Elul, the last day of this seventh year, in which case the Shemitah affects the loan that transpired on that day. The Mishnah says, Shvius is Meshamet. What does it mean, Meshamet? Based on your approach, it means, Mechlal Dereisha, Yoivli Loshakel. If he voluntarily gives it to him and returns the loan, he may not accept it. So these are the two sides of the coin. Meshamet means he can't accept it. Eina Meshamet, Shvius doesn't affect it, means he can't accept it. But that's not the case. We know that when Shemitah affects a loan, it doesn't mean that the person doesn't owe it to him and he can't return it to him if he chooses to. It simply means that you don't have the rights to demand it, to collect it. So your interpretation here is inaccurate. Because if you maintain that he can't receive it when it's voluntarily offered to him, that's incorrect. Says the Gemara, you're right. Certainly he can go ahead and take it when it's offered to him. Rather, in the Reisha, since Shemitah affects it, he needs to do something. Even when he's offered that loan in return, he needs to make a statement. I am relinquishing my rights to this loan. I'm not demanding it of you. If you want to return it, fine, I'll receive it. But he must make that statement, sort of a protest. He used to inform him that it's not something which he's demanding to be returned. So that's strictly when Shemitah affects the loan. That's what the Mishnah means. That if it turns out that the loan took place on Shemitah, Shemitah affects the loan, he used to at least make that statement Mishamitani. In contrast to the Seifa, the latter part of the Mishnah, when the loan did not transpire on Shemitah, Shemitah does not affect that loan, which took place after Shemitah was already finished. He has no obligation to make that statement Mishamitani. So that's the whole difference here between Shemitah, which was a loan which was affected by Shemitah, which case he has to say Mishamitani, I'm relinquishing my personal rights to this loan, as opposed to where Shemitah did not affect the loan which took place after Shemitah, because Rosh Hashanah here was already after the seventh year. It was the first day of the eighth year, in which case Shemitah doesn't affect it. He has no need, he has no obligation to say Mishamitani. Because it's not as we learned in the Mishnah, Hamachzir Chay B'Shvi'is. If one chooses to return a loan after Shemitah, Yoyim Eloi Meshametani, the lender, the Malveh, should make that statement, I am being Meshamet. I'm not demanding this of you. I'm relinquishing my rights and my tviya to this loan. If the borrower is a nice fellow, he says, look, I know that. Even so, nevertheless, I want to return this loan. He should receive it. He may receive it from him, because it says, "Vezeh dvar shmita." This is the word of shmita, meaning, even if he receives it in return, he needs to remind, he needs to say, it was shmita. I am relinquishing my rights. As soon as he makes that statement, he has fulfilled his obligation, he will receive the loan in return. Continues the Gemara. Rav Avya shokel mashkoina. This is going back to the halva of Yom Tov. This loan which took place on Yom Tov, Avya's practice was, he would take a mashkin, a collateral, to ensure the safe return of his loan. Rav Bar Ula, he did something different. Marir Marumi, he would make a pretense. He wouldn't take something on Yom Tov, an actual Yom Tov, but he would wait after Yom Tov, and he would somehow get a hold of an object of this fellow, perhaps a borrower, and then he would hold on to it and say, look, this is being held on as a mashkin, as a guarantee, as a security for the loan which I gave you yesterday on Yom Tov. Continues the Gemara. V'chein Erev Pesach. And we learned that if a person had not yet purchased his karban, and it was Erev Pesach, it fell out on Shabbos, he goes to the shepherd, to the animal merchant, gets a hold of a karban, and uses it. Amar b'yechna, magdish adam pischa b'Shabbos. Generally speaking, a person is not allowed to make hegdish on Shabbos. We're going to learn certain, it's contained in the Mishnah. But a person may be magdish a Korban Pesach on Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach. He may say, this should be for my Korban Pesach. He may sanctify it. Likewise, regarding being magdish, sanctifying the Korban Chagiga, on Yom Tov, the day of the Akrov of that Korban, he can do that without any concern. Says the Gemara, name a Messiah, perhaps we have a riot to this halach from our Mishnah. V'chein Erev Pesach b'Yushalayim. When Erev Pesach and Yushalayim fell out on Shabbos, Shechol Yis b'Shabbos, this fellow hadn't yet procured his carbon. Maliyach Etzlo, he leaves his garment by the merchant, V'nechol Yis Pischoy, and he takes a hold of his animal for his carbon Pesach, V'oysu Yimeichesh Malach HaYontav, and he calculates with him after Yontav. So apparently, he's getting a hold of a fresh animal here, and he's making it a Hegdish on Shabbos. So apparently it's allowed. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, says Gemara, not so quick. Hacha ma'eskinon, you know what we're speaking about? That this carbon was already hegdish. He's not purchasing a new carbon. We're speaking about joining a group. So this fellow hadn't yet joined a group for the carbon Pesach. So the carbon Pesach was generally eaten with a chabura, with a group. And he hadn't yet joined a group. And it's already Erev Pesach, it's Shabbos. So he approaches this fellow who created a group, and he says, look, could I join your group? This fellow is joining others with him on his Karban Pesach. He's making him part of the group. This Karban Pesach was initially already Hegdish. He's not initiating a new Hegdish. He's simply joining a pre-existing group on a pre-existing Karban Pesach. So this is unrelated to Rabbi Yechon's halacha of sanctifying Magdash Korban Pesach on Shabbos. Says Mer, how can one do that? How can one join a group on Shabbos or Yom Tov? Vanantnan. But we learned in the Mishnah, Einim nan al-behema b'schil b'Yom Tov. One may not join a group. Initially join a group on Yom Tov. This is halacha that one can't do this on Yom Tov. So how can one go ahead and form a group on Yom Tov? Says the Gemara, Shani Yochai, here it's different. Kima deragel esle. Since this fellow apparently is accustomed to be part of this fellow's Karim Pesach, command the imne baby Yikara Dami. It's as though initially he had already joined the group. This fellow already had him in mind and mentally considered him as part of his group. It's not considered to be initiating a group. He's simply doing it for the confirming and as a formality, but really technically he already joined the group before Shabbos. V'atani Rabbi Yishai, didn't Rabbi Yishai teach us? A person can go approach a shepherd, Haragel Esloi, who is accustomed to frequenting, and he offers him a tlei, a sheep for his Karban Pesach, umagdishai, and he makes it hekdash v'yotzibay, and he uses it for his Karban Pesach. So here we see that he's initiating a hekdash on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Hasam Nami there as well. Kiva Durag Leslie, since this fellow is a steady customer of this shepherd, Agdusha Lemikari, initially before Shabbos, this shepherd expected this fellow to show up tomorrow, and he already made this carbon hegdish on his behalf. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Vah Magdish Tani. Rav Oishi Kli says that he takes the animal and he's Magdish it on Shabbos. Hegdish Ilum Midrabban. We're speaking about an additional hegdish. Rashi says, it's an added, it's an advantage to do this. It's an enhancement of the Kedusha of the carbon that the owner himself should make the Hegdish. But technically speaking, the shepherd already had in mind and made this carbon Hegdish. This is a Din Rabbanon to add the additional Hegdish, but really, it's considered to be Hegdish before Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Omi Amar Rabbeichem Nachi? The Rabbeichem really say that a person can make a Behema Hegdish on Shabbos. Or on Yom Tov, Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, VaAmar Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yochanan tells Halacha Stam Mishnah. The Halacha follows a Stam Mishnah which was taught anonymously without a name attached to it. And we have a Mishnah which clearly tells us one cannot do this on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. But Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah in Meseches Beya, Loi Magdishin. We may not make Hegdish. Loi Ma'arichin. This is uttering that commitment to give to the Hegdish the value of a person. Or to make a chirim, this is also a form of setting aside one's property for the sake of the Hegdish. Why can't he do this on Shabbos? Because it's like transferring an object from one person's possession to the Hegdish, which is another domain. So it's similar to Mekechamemka, to a form of transaction of business. One can't do this on Yom Tov or Shabbos. V'loy magbin terumas hamaisis, likewise one may not remove, separate from Mr. Meisus, because he's fixing the rest of the produce there. It's a tikkun. Kol elu b'yom tov amr. All these restrictions will apply to Yom Tov. Kavachayim b'Shabbos. Certainly, they were said on Shabbos as well. Sakhar Rebbechon say that one may go ahead and make Hegdish on Shabbos or Yom Tov without hesitation. Loi kashi, it's not difficult. Depends on the context. Kan b'choyvois shekavola in zman. Rebbechon was speaking about choyvois, karbanos which he's obligated to bring, obligatory karbanos, shekabul and zman, who have their time established, they're time sensitive, like the karban Pesach, it's either now or never, or like that karban chagig, which used to be brought today. In this case, just as the hakrava of that karban, the offering of the karban, involves overriding of Shabbos, it justifies chilul Shabbos, it's doicha Shabbos, likewise the hegdish of the karban justifies being done on Shabbos. However, the Mishnah, which prohibits, is speaking about a different context. Kan, over here, b'chayvish and kavula and zman, is speaking about obligatory karbanas, which are not time sensitive, which are not kavua to them at time. And therefore, just as the hakrav of those karbanas don't justify overriding of Shabbos. And Yom Tov, likewise, the hegdish of the karbanas cannot be done on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Okay, time for a brief chazara, a review of today's daf. We began that the Gemara concluded one may realign a broken bone on Shabbos without any concern. Regarding a dislocated limb, he cannot vigorously wash it with cold water to have it relocate. The Mishnah told us one may borrow wine or oil, provided he uses the term hashileni, which is a short-term connotation rather than halveni, in which case the lender might be tempted to keep records. We learned that in a case where people will ignore our reproach, our teichacha, our warnings, we just ignore it. It's better we leave them shogig in a state of inadvertence, rather than tell them, inform them, and have them do it intentionally. Regarding demanding the return of a halva, a Shabbos, or Yontif, Rav Machlekes Rabbeisa said you can't. Rabbi says you could do it. And certainly the discussion here is regarding a bezin. Of course, the person owes it to him. The question is whether he has the power to demand its return through the power of the bezin. We concluded regarding making hegdish of a carbon on Shabbos and Yontif. It depends. If this carbon is time sensitive, it's meant to be brought today on Shabbos and Yontif, just as the akrav is Shabbos, likewise, the hegdish can be done on Shabbos and Yontif without any hesitation.